Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you, Joyce. You done good on the hard names. Today is Pentecost, a day of surprises. Red confetti on the floor. Penny would know about that. This is a low-tech, low-cost version of a video that we happened to see in East Lansing, and I had a friend who was actually in the worship service about 5 years ago at Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, and Tim was down there with a crew from his church on a church planning conference, which is a story in itself on the day when we're taking strengthening the church. He's pastor of a 100-member congregation, barely full-time, and they have started a new congregation in West Virginia. They felt they needed another ONA congregation in the West Virginia Bible Belt. We took in Bridges of Grace a year ago this time, and I just had a contact with the pastor, and they're starting a choir after a year. So, but anyway, they were worshiping at Cathedral of Hope, a large congregation now in the United Church of Christ in Dallas. And during the dramatic prelude, all of a sudden from the balcony to the front of the church shot this flame and cauldrons erupted. Got everybody's attention. It's Pentecost, my friends. I don't have the ability, and so we got red confetti. But Pentecost is a day of surprises, and it's a day of receiving a gift, the gift of God's Holy Spirit. You've just heard Joyce read the story again. The disciples were gathered in Jerusalem. If not behind closed doors, at least they were gathered in a state of uncertainty and some anxiety, wondering what was going to happen to them next. If you remember in John's gospel, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, some of them were so discouraged that they went back to fishing on Lake Galilee. And Jesus came into their midst and eventually told them, wait in Jerusalem. They've just gone through, according to the Acts, the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And now they're wondering, what's next? Who's going to teach us? How are we going to remember all that our Master has done and taught? And so, if not fearful, at least they were uncertain and anxious. And then comes the gift of the Spirit. What a surprise. Although promised, it came like the rush of a mighty wind, and like tongues of fire. Close we can get to tongues of fire is little pieces of red confetti resting on the head. And they began to preach in all these languages, not just in glossolalia, not just in unintelligible speech that needed interpretation, but in languages so those from all over the Roman Empire who were in Jerusalem for the festival, all the Jews and all the believers, could hear the testimony of God's saving love in Jesus Christ. And they were astounded, and they were amazed as they came to hear. And some of them thought, they're filled with new wine, they're drunk. And Peter says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We can't even get drunk that fast. No, it's the gift of God's Spirit, which is empowering these Galileans to speak like PhDs in languages that they did not know, proclaiming God's saving love in Jesus Christ. The disciples went from a group that were discouraged and uncertain and anxious to a group that was filled with power and enthusiasm. And if you read a little further in the text, it says 3,000 people responded that day and were baptized. The church grew exponentially. That's why we call it the birthday of the church. The gift of the Spirit. It's the one major celebration of the Christian church that the commercial world hasn't yet co-opted. And I kind of wonder about that sometimes, but I think it's because we don't do it very well. We don't celebrate Pentecost very well. We don't even have a special greeting. You know, we say Merry Christmas, Happy Easter. What do you do on Pentecost? For the last couple of years, I've been wishing, as it approaches people, a Spirit-filled Pentecost. We've got to come up with a greeting for Pentecost. I don't think we celebrate it very well, for a number of reasons. One, it may be too surprising. That's the way of the Spirit. Surprising, empowering, energizing, and possibly just a little frightening because it's so unpredictable and uncontrollable. That's why I think we don't celebrate it, because we can't control the movement, the presence, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. I think in our churches like us, we often pay lip service to the Spirit, but try to control or resist its power and its presence. And I think sometimes we think it's manipulative, like throwing red confetti up. Yeah? We're a church that wants faith to be understood and intellectual and rational. We're a church that welcomes questions. And so we're sometimes afraid of the Spirit because it seems too emotional. But I would argue that we need both. We need to be a church that entertains significant doubts and questions and helps people to engage and find their way. At the same time, to be open to the presence and the movement of God's Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to surprise us, to encourage us, to energize us, to play with us, to have fun on occasion with red confetti. But to allow the Spirit to move within us and through us as individuals and as a congregation, so that we too can proclaim to all the world the good news of God's saving love that we've experienced and know in Jesus Christ. We've got to get over our fear of not being in control and our fear of surprises, and let God's Spirit touch us and work within us. May you have a Spirit-filled day. Amen.